My name is Thomas Declein. I will be your host for the afternoon. And right now we have Richard Sharp here, who is with Panzura and will talk about improving Zamba VFS. Give him a welcome, please.
Okay, thanks, folks. I had a bit of a panic before starting here because I couldn't get my laptop to display on there, but everything is fine now. So I want to talk about improving the Samba VFS, and I've provocatively said there for zero Samba mods, and that's not a goal that I think we can achieve, but we can try to move in that direction. So I have a quick agenda here. I want to talk to you about what I actually mean by zero mods and why I care, why we should care, for and so forth. Then I want to talk to you a little bit about what I've seen a bunch of companies who use Samba, OEMs who use Samba, what they are doing with Samba today that causes me pain and most likely causes them a lot of pain. And then I'll talk about how we could perhaps get closer to allowing them to ship with further modifications. Talk about some of the changes that I think we could make to the VFS, and then some final steps on how we can achieve some of that. Okay, so what do I mean by zero Samba mods? Today, a lot of organizations out there, a lot of companies ship Samba as part of their product, but they have to go through and do quite a lot. Now, they may have to write one or more VFS modules, but if they're doing anything out of the ordinary, they also most likely have to make changes to Samba. And I'll talk in a little while about some of the pain then that I've experienced with the organizations that I've worked with around making Samba work on various products. Before going any further, I should note, however, that there is also a section on the wiki on improving the Samba VFS, and I had a quick look at it today, and certainly also Samba developers are feeling some of that pain, and their approach or their take has been from the point of view of Samba developers, and so I feel that I'm bringing here the point of view of OEMs, of companies who want to use Samba and want to ship Samba. So why do we care? And I've already mentioned this somewhat. For those people who are using Samba in a product and therefore who have to support the use of Samba, they have a problem. And I'll motivate in a little bit why I think that they are modifying the Samba code that we ship. But once they're in that position of having modified the Samba code, they then have to typically do quite a lot of hard work subsequently, because they then have to, when they move to a new version, they have to merge all of their patches with the new version of Samba, which usually means figuring out how this patch should work with the new code, because the code base has changed. Some things like it just with the VFS itself, the VFS changes across versions, and so they have to figure out which patches still apply, which patches are still needed, whether those patches apply cleanly, and how to fix it, etc. And so from the point of view of us on the Samba team, the less modification, the fewer mods they have to make to the Samba code to ship their product, the happier they will be, and it makes it easier for them to move to new versions. So to give you a bit of an idea of how much of this pain that I have felt, I've worked with a bunch of Samba OEMs over the years, starting with Panasis, and then later on Data Domain, Data Robotics or Drobo, Scale Computing. I've done some work for the Dell Ocarina Group. I did a little bit of work for Tanberg, and I'm currently working for a company called Panzura, where we actually, unfortunately, are making quite a lot of mods. And so what form do these modifications take? What have we had to do? Well, at Panzura, there's at least 54 places in the code I checked before putting these slides together, but more likely more than that, where we've actually made changes to the Samba code base. Now, we also have a bunch of VFS modules as well, but we have been forced to make all of these changes to the code base. And I've looked at the source that people like QNAP and Synology make available. It took a little bit of effort, only a tiny bit of effort, to get people like Synology to give me the latest code, and that was simply because they'd had they'd made a mistake in their code extraction program, but they eventually gave me all of their current code, and QNAP made it all available on the on their website, and I'll deal with some of the changes that others make. Certainly, at Panzura, we've made the most changes of any of the organizations, well, with the exception perhaps of Synology, which I'll talk about in a second. So many, many companies have gone in with the view that they need to make changes to Samba to achieve what they want. And here now, what I'm going to do is talk about some of the specifics of the changes that we have made to Samba to get things to work correctly. One of the big areas has been Windows previous version behavior. We went in and I think that, so we started using the current Windows previous version module. What's the name of that module? Shadow copy 2, I think. We started with Shadow copy 2. And so Panzura uses Samba 3.6.12, unfortunately, but it still applies and uses ZFS as the file system. So ZFS has its own snapshotting technology, and then because the people at Panzura had some exposure to NetApp, they decided to use the tilde snapshot approach that NetApp first used, although that's perhaps irrelevant to this. But along the way, in making snapshot, the Windows previous version, work correctly from a Windows point of view, we discovered that there were some mistaken assumptions, even in the Snapshot 2 VFS module. And certainly I had some mistaken assumptions going in with this shadow copy stuff or the Windows previous versions. I had assumed that if a client was trying to open a previous version and their open was a write-like open, then you would reject that with access denied. And it turns out that that's not the way that Windows behaves. Windows allows write-like opens on a previous version, and then when you try to perform a write action against that now open handle, it gives you an error back, status media write protected. So you get to open the file, but you don't get to make any modifications to the file. And then this had some cascading effects because, of course, we're living on top of a Unix file system, a Unix system with a Unix file system, and it knew that the previous versions all lived in a read-only file system. And so if you try to open a file with O under read write, for example, because the caller asked for O under read write, you get an error, EROFS. And so we had to actually also modify our VFS module to retry the operation in that case with O under read only so that we could fake it and let them get to the point where media write protected is returned, because it turned out that some Windows applications actually depended on receiving status media write protected, and they behave differently if you returned access denied. There is some other stuff that caused us some problems as well that I'll mention. So we had to actually touch quite a number of places in the code to make sure that the correct behavior was handled or was provided One of those was in, say, SMBD under do under QFS info, where we had to pass through an FSP so that we had access to the appropriate information, so that, because it turns out that Windows will do a get info with a get FS info on an open file handle. It won't just do it on without a file handle against the whole file system. So that was one of the areas where we had to make a bunch of modifications to Samba. Then there are some other places where we found things like Samba was too noisy. Yes, sorry.
But could you elaborate a little bit on why these changes have not been sent back to upstream? Because it sounds like these modifications actually adapt more to the Microsoft Windows behavior. So what is the reason not to send it to mainline and describe that behavior and to
Actually, that's a good point. I think we did open some bugs, but we do need to push back the changes so that people, at least people can, probably the best approach is to open a bug and then to put out patches into the bug so that people can look at them and figure out what's needed. We haven't done it for this specific thing. I mean, we've done it for a bunch of other things, but we haven't done it for this specific thing. In other areas, Samba was more noisy than we wanted. In some cases, it was dumping core when that was not of much use because the error message that went in the log file was sufficient. And that caused us problems because we have limited amounts of space. And we started having customers who were running out of space on the root file system because of dumping core. And so we wanted to prevent that from happening so the customers didn't experience problems. And in some cases, it printed out errors at the wrong level and we wanted to see those error messages. So this is Samba 3.6. There's some sort of weird problem with TDBs on FreeBSD and we haven't tracked it down. We've ported the recent changes that were made to messaging stuff that Folker put through the changes on messaging to scavenge because there were situations where Christoph's changes. We've just ported those changes and we haven't finally tracked all of that down. So there were changes like that. Some other changes where we didn't want to call end times after a file was closed because of the nature of our VFS and because ZFS pushes the M times through on writes and things of that nature. So it doesn't change times on close. And perhaps though the one of the other areas was with reader. Because we had chosen initially to go down that tilde snapshot path, then we wanted to have tilde snapshot revealed to Windows in some weird cases. But unfortunately, what we found out, and NetApp probably found this as well, was that SMB1 or MRX SMB1 and MRX SMB2 behave differently. And so with SMB1, you could elide snapshot. You could just not return tilde snapshot in a find first, find next response. But then from the Explorer or from the command prompt, you could say go to tilde snapshot, and SMB1 and SMB1 redirector was quite happy to go there. And then people could navigate down to wherever they wanted, and then they could retrieve the previous version and copy it, and life was good. Unfortunately, with SMB2, the behavior of the redirector changed. If you said go to tilde snapshot, it first did a find to see if tilde snapshot existed. And if it didn't find it, it said go away. I'm not going to do that. And so... I can't remember. I don't know. Why? Do you think it might behave differently with... So in any event, so all of a sudden there was a panic because customers using SMB2 couldn't see tilde snapshot. So then we change the behavior of things so that tilde snapshot was always returned in a find response, but it was marked hidden. That was okay, except when customers said, change the ACLs on this directory. And of course, it found tilde snapshot and it tried to change the ACLs. And that directory is read-only. And so then they get this nasty pop-up, and customers don't like pop-ups. And so it turned into a mess. Then later on, we introduced this notion of tilde policy, which was designed to allow us to interface with Glacier, although eventually we didn't do anything with Glacier. And so what we wanted was the ability to introduce and in some cases hide things from Samba in the read-dir path. And so we wanted, although we've not made any of these changes, we had to make the changes in Samba. I would have preferred to have put that in the VFS, but that meant passing some additional stuff down to the VFS so that we can coordinate that sort of thing. It's like an FSP perhaps. So we didn't. Maybe that would have fixed the problem.
I don't know. It's just a file
question. Yeah. We might try that.
I think it looks at systems slightly differently. Hidden is just the UI thing. It's not really the system has more.
That's a good observation. Maybe that would have fixed that particular problem. So these are some of the modifications. Oh, and for reasons that I'll talk about briefly in my next presentation, we had to introduce a new VFS call called query delete on close, and we'll see why that is later on. But I don't want to take up too much time there because I've got a lot else to talk about. Now, some other OEMs out there, Synology is one, and I did some work for Tanberg last year, and it was based on, I looked at the mods that Synology had made. So this is based on a point in time, and at that point Synology was using Samba 3.6.9, and they had a 2.9 megabyte patch. If you took their source code and did a diff minus UR against Samba, vanilla Samba 3.6.9, there's 2.9 megabytes in that damn patch file. And they have a lot of stuff in there. Some of it is because they are doing weird things. They've got mods to Linux. They've got mixed Samba and AFP stuff. They're supporting AFP. They have their changes to upon receiving a signal to go and check for all logged in users whether group membership have changed and all of that sort of stuff. But surely some of it, with a little bit of help, might have gone into a VFS module rather than that 2.6 megabytes. QNAP, QNAP was kind of similar. Although they were doing even weirder stuff, it seemed like they had a Samba 3.6.1 code base, and their patches were mostly just our patches to get them all the way up to Samba 3.6.9. So they were doing some really weird stuff. Then Tanberg wanted the Synology fix, and they also wanted some things like if we change the share level permissions, they wanted that to ripple through to all of the logged-in users. And so I ended up giving them a set of patches that modified all the files that you can see on there, in mostly in small ways. So there's something like 10 files there that are touched. About 10 files that are touched. The patches are only about 24K, so it's much cleaner than the Synology patch. And I'll send those patches out later on so that people can look at whether or not they want them. But Synology was also in their build. They started with 3.6, not Synology, Tanberg. They started with 3.6.9 and they were applying a bunch of patches that had come from other versions and so forth, as well as these other patches. At some of the other vendors or OEMs that I worked for, we didn't do much at all. There was some integration with NetAtalk, some build fixes. Much of that has been absorbed in recent versions. Data Domain had their own, and as many of you are now aware, Data Domain, after 5 years,
they haven't
yet shipped.
They have still not.
Yes, but they started 5 years ago in moving from Samba to Likewise.
Richard, they failed. They're still running Samba 3.0.
Yes.
Oh.
Yes. 3.028. Oh, they continually advertise for people to do IPv6 work for them.
Yeah.
Right. In any event, they have a user space file system that's accessed via NFS. And back in 2009, I added support for ReadDir Plus to their implementation because scanning directories was incredibly slow without ReadDir Plus. It was like an order of magnitude worse than the ReadDir Plus version. So, you know, there are a variety of people out there. Okay, so how can we get to zero mods? And I think that's an impossible goal, but we can move closer to the point where people who are trying to ship Samba don't have to make a large number of modifications to the code. If all you're going to do, if your product is just, if you're going to ship just Samba and you've got no special VFS modules or anything like that, then of course it's easy. You just download the Cernet RPMs and ship those on your product. But for most of the OEMs out there, they do need at least a VFS module to adapt Samba to their special hardware, whatever, or any file system modifications they've made. So they'll need those sorts of things. And in the context of Samba 4, as I'll mention later on, they probably will need to change one or two WScript files. Do we have a vendor-specific WScript file for them to add their VFS modules too? We'll have to figure that out. So that's one of the things that I mentioned later on. And then they'll build. That's if they're fortunate. Otherwise, they will have to contemplate making a bunch of changes. So what can we do here? Now, one of the things, and there has already... The Samba team. Yes, I do have two hats. So one of the things that we need to do here, and there has already been some thought put into this, and you'll find it on the developer portion of the wiki, is to perhaps more carefully figure out what those interfaces should look like. Currently, there is a VFS interface, but it has kind of accreted over time, and it started out as pretty much a straight POSIX layer, and it has accreted NTFS-like functions over time as well, which makes things a little bit complicated. And so I think we need to look at what those interfaces should actually look like and plan things, develop a plan to get us to the position where OEMs need to do less modifications. And so what I want to talk about from here on in are what I see as some changes that we could make to the VFS layer itself, then maybe some changes that we could make to Samba, and then I think we need to spend some time on providing an easy way for OEMs to build their system under Samba 4 so that they, if they're not making any modifications to the source code, for example, we could at least make it easy for them to do an out-of-source tree build under Samba 4. Okay, so some VFS changes. One of the things that you'll notice if you have to write a VFS module is that the functions return different types of error codes, error statuses. Many of them return Unix error codes, some of them return NT status. And then what this means is if you go and look in the body of the code where these VFS functions are called, In some places, the code calls a VFS function, gets back a Unix error code, and immediately calls another function to translate Erno into an NT status code. And it would simplify the Samba code somewhat if, in every case, an NT status code was returned. And then you, as the VFS writer, are responsible for turning whatever lower level error code you get into the correct NT status code. And if your lower level error codes are Unix error codes, Unix Erno values, then we already have code that you can call to do that. So you don't have to do any extra work if your lower level error codes are Unix codes. Yes? Why would you convert it back to a POSIX error code?
Well, because right now in the VFS, you have cases in which, that's fair. So there are places in the code where we care about the POSIX error code in the call of the node.
Right. The code. Yes, but we could change that to use an NT status. Yes.
Additionally, you might have a slightly different requirement for SMB1 service versus SMB2.
Yes. Now that's a good point because that would, but we do know in the VFS whether this is SMB1 or SMB2.
Okay.
So,
you have that context.
Yes, we have that context. It's perhaps not as clean as it could be, but we do have that. If you get an FS, no, it's in the handle. It's in the handle, isn't it? Right, but isn't that in the handle? Somewhere, yes. But we can get at that context. But that's a good point and would need to be documented. At the moment, I guess that's abstracted further up.
Which is fine. I just curious if you...
Yes. In other cases, I think we should pass an FSP into more functions because you can use, as a VFS module writer, you can use an FSP extension to carry around state information. Unfortunately, if you don't get the FSP, you can't get at your state information, and you have to then have some other way to get at that state information. There's another speculative area, and this may have to do more with what we were doing at Panzura, but in some cases we may also need to... So this relates to the locking hierarchy that Samba uses between the locking.tdb and the brlock.tdb. And if you are taking other locks inside your VFS module to avoid getting deadlocks because of locking hierarchy reversals, there may need to be some need for... providing a hook there so that you can tell a VFS module, I need you to take your locks in this order or what have you. And the last one I'm thinking of here is that we need to push all of the CTDB calls through some sort of a VFS layer because at the moment they're all just straight in the code. And if you want to replace that stuff, you've got to do a lot of work. Sorry, Volker. Right.
And also the message, which is the other important piece, is also behind some API. It's a modular one.
Right.
So you can't write it down any modular technology. But this is pretty well right now.
So it needs to be. No, I'm thinking somebody out there might. We don't require that.
Okay.
But I'm thinking somebody out there might want to replace that with their own functionality. And so if it was dynamically loadable rather than having to go through and modify the functions that implement the API, then that would make life easier for people. Okay, and so I've already talked about some of this already, but we've internally, in fact, to work around this problem, we've internally extended ERNOs, so we now have an e-sharing violation, and we have a few other ERNOs that map straight on, or Windows errors map straight on to these, and that then meant that we've had to modify the file that converts ERNOs to NT status values. I've mentioned most of these things already, so we can skip over that fairly quickly. Of course, so.
Just a random question.
Yes.
In Linux, they've been doing quite a bit of work on supporting leases and line modes and things like that. Does the VFS address those currently? And if so, what?
The VFS has hooks for allowing us to handle leases, but as Volker says, it doesn't work the way it needs to work. So somebody needs to get involved with those guys and in fact, one of my last slides says that, in my opinion, Windows sharing modes is actually a very, very useful thing for applications to be able to say, hey, well, at least it, you know, if applications can say, I want exclusive access to this, or I will allow readers to read this while I'm. Right. And you can. And certain. It does. It does. Now, getting back to the VFS, in discussion with at least one other person, we've come up with the view that if you're not passing an FSP into a VFS function, then you should justify it. And that's the sort of mindset you should have. However, you do need to recognize that there are some functions for which it's just not possible to pass an FSP. And two examples there are connect and disconnect, because you don't have an FSP at that point. So there may be some for which you don't have an FSP. But in general, let's pass an FSP.
I agree with you, Matt, in time. I think we should move to making the VFS almost completely handle based.
Right.
That's the ultimate goal. But there are some cases where essentially you get to your state data by going via the connect handle, which is the reconnect essentially.
Yes. Right, and so how do you add? I can't remember how you.
It's almost exactly the same. I think David did the micro. It's almost exactly the same as the way that you add an FSP.
Right.
There's an add a connect specific.
Right. Okay, so there is a way to stash state away for the whole.
I felt the OEMs, basically, when you first connect to it, a lot of people use it to hold persistent handles to remote passes.
Yes. Okay. And I've mentioned the locking calls already, and that may need some justification, however, because it may be that our specific case was needed that. Right. Oh, so we ran into a situation where we were taking locks, and in fact, it was F-control locks inside our VFS module, and then we ran into a deadlock, and in fact, we resolved this because FreeBSD and Linux gives you e-deadlock when it detects, and in this case, it could detect the deadlock, and so we knew the meaning of that situation, and we could work around that particular instance. But I'm thinking that if you are taking locks in your VFS module, then we need to fit into the locking hierarchy that Samba uses, because it's also taking F-control locks on it. At yes. No, I'm thinking that what we need is so there is a function, a main function, where we acquire the locks, for example. So we acquire those in the specific locking hierarchy to avoid deadlock. Then there should probably be a callback where the VFS module is told, you need to acquire your lock now so that you don't violate the locking hierarchy. Yes. But then that's not what I'm referring to. Let's talk about this offline, and I'll try and justify it better offline. Okay, and I've mentioned also the CTDB calls, where we don't need that sort of functionality because we're not using any CTDB functionality, but I imagine somebody might. Did you have a question, Ira? Well, as Volker said, there is an API, it's just not one that you can use with a loadable module today, with a dynamically loadable module. Okay. So, what sort of Samba changes might we want to make? Well, firstly, I think we need to sit down and design a cleaner VFS interface, and I think Metzer and Michael have already thought about some of those issues, and so I'm going to try to leverage those and provide them with comments and get comments back from them, etc. It's going to be to completely overhaul the VFS is going to be a lot of work, but it's something that we should do. And at the end of the day, so this at least means that OEMs won't have to understand the Samba code and won't have to get things wrong as well. Yes, sir. Well, in fact, right, it's going to be a big task for us to move to Samba 4.
So, I mean, in general, it's not just creating new VFS, because that does offer new features and offers the possibility for Samba scaling up there, but it also creates huge migration issues every time you change the VFS.
Well, yes, but except that if you remove the requirement for OEMs to make lots of changes in Samba, then actually modifying your VFS module is relatively simple. It's typically you just add a couple of new functions, function calls, which may in fact do nothing because you don't need them. And in the way the VFS is structured, in some cases, you don't need to implement anything when you move to the new version.
But at a minimum, it seems like each of the create contexts need to be, you know, loadable into the VFS or mappable into the VFS. And right now, I don't think any of them are directly, right?
Well, some of the create contexts are. Let's handle this at the end. I've got a couple more slides to go through. Okay, and then there are going to be some build changes that we need to think about, because in Samba 3.5 and 3.6, you could build your VFS module in the tree or out of the tree. Of course, it took a little bit of effort to build it out of the tree. You had to pre-build the Samba code anyway and then run the configure thing. But it seems that in Samba 4, that's not possible today, so we need to put some effort into that. And so we may need to think about providing some sort of package with the necessary include files or something of that nature. Okay, now, so how do we get there? So I've started moving my VFS documentation into the wiki. The goal there is so that other people can contribute to this, and there is a section in that for version differences so that we can have one wiki-based document that can help people go through all of these. And over and above that, I would like more input from OEMs and from others who have an interest in this area. And moving forward, I'm going to try to do the simple things first, like tackling, say, moving everything to anti-status return codes, and talk to Jeremy about the changes that will be needed in that area. And that's it. Yes. Yes. There is, yes.
And in a sense, if that becomes the default place people look, even that alone is going to help. The other thing I'm wondering about is, practically speaking, can we stack as a staging mechanism? Let's take the open example.
I'm sorry, but we have to cut this short because in order to make it possible to switch between tracks, we have to be very tight on schedule and give the next guy a chance to set up. But there's always a chance to ask any question you could not ask here in the breaks or after, because he will be here all day.
Yes.
So I'm very sorry to break this up, but you were so on time when you said, I'm done. So thank you very much for your talk.